We are all gathered in the hearing room on the 12th floor of the Capitol for a work session, correct? Is this a work session? On a motion for leave at FERC. And so I think we've all been distributed a draft motion, and I don't have any additional comments. Randy or Brian, do you guys have any comments? All right, then we'll just turn over to Jack and Adam to walk through everything, and Victor, if need be. Sure.
So I sent out an email to the three of you just kind of describing what's going on in this proceeding and what the issues are about, so I won't go over those again. But when we intervene in a number of cases at the federal level, but to the extent that we actually take an additional step, we usually request commission approval of that, or at least direction to continue to move forward with that. This is the motion that we that has been the joint commission state commissions have been working on, and it relates to that Tatanka Ridge, South Dakota wind farm, and their request for compensation for reactive power supply. This motion generically or in general provides that we would like it to be extended out for 5 months to allow us time for, to look into this and possibly set up for evidentiary hearing and settlement discussion, because in the event when we look into it further that it's unjust and unreasonable to our customers, it would allow us to address that issue and also either litigate it as a joint state commission or take any other action that we need to take as well.
So can you explain some of the terminology? Motion for leave to answer and answer. To answer and answer of Minnesota
so
Public.
This is the answer to the request, and we did a motion to leave for an additional answer as well. So there are multiple.
What does answer mean in this case?
So procedurally, in almost all cases, there's a complaint or initial petition, and then there's a subsequent party that is answering that petition. So, for example, on appeal, there's a someone files the appeal, and subsequently, there's the answer to that appeal. For all of our complaints or in-house adversarial proceedings, there's a petition or complaint and a subsequent answer.
Okay. So we're saying this is the motion for leave to answer,
mm-hmm.
and then our answer.
Right, a current answer as well.
Okay.
You could see there under.
And is the petition the original complaint, or is the original filing Tatanka's filing for the tariff?
My understanding is the original filing is answering. The. Oh, I apologize for speaking over you.
No, but sure. That's what we're answering.
Yes, to the initial request for, so it wouldn't be a complaint at this level,
okay.
but it's a request for cost recovery,
okay.
rate recovery for it.
All right, that makes sense then.
So essentially we're answering, saying that we believe this to be unjust and unreasonable, and we would like more time to be able to look into it, address it.
Good. And then, I'm sure my colleagues have questions too, but
I can't receive anything right now.
When we get,
that's fine.
Say they do grant us this extension. Is that what we're really asking for?
We're looking
to look at it.
Yes, we're. And Adam, feel free to jump in if you have any thoughts on this as well, because I know you've been working extensively on this. But yes, we're looking for 5 months to actually look into and dig into this and have some additional discussions.
And then, will they have to set a hearing, or can they decide, yeah, these are just not just and reasonable, and we deny these? Do they have to go to this hearing step to make us make the case?
You know, I do have an understanding of some for practice and procedure, but I don't want to speak in absolutes and how fully this functions. But I imagine that to the extent that if it does get set for, I mean, if we are going to be allowed to go forward and respond to this, I imagine it will be set for evidentiary hearing,
okay.
and allowed to be heard as well. But I believe for the vast majority of these, at least the ones that I've been involved with, we've ultimately resulted in a settlement on the interim.
Okay.
Which I believe, Commissioner Fedorchuk, you've been involved in some of those in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Since this will ultimately tie back to rate making, do we open up a case or create a case number for it so we can start docketing it appropriately? You know, Otter Tail's reaction to it, starting building that body of evidence, because sooner or later they're going to come in at some point in time and ask for recovery on whatever the number is. But right now it just says other, so we're having a work session essentially on something that doesn't have a case number, correct?
Well, generally we don't open up a specific full docket for these because this is not our proceeding. We do have our internal tracking system that we do, and this information will be tracked within that. Usually there's an iFile that's opened up for it, and that's usually how we proceed. You can find all the documents that are filed in that record in the actual FERC docket where the proceeding is occurring.
So we transfer that iFile over into a docket when they show up for their generating or generation rider?
To the extent that we need to address it within a subsequent rate proceeding, we would be able to use any of these documents and carry them over as essentially exhibits and incorporate them into the hearing record.
Okay.
You can always come back.
Yeah, wait a second. This is my last chance, right?
So I have a couple questions that are somewhat procedural.
Sure.
How did this three-state grouping come together, and how satisfied are we with the answers? I mean, my experience, like at SPP, where there's 11 of us trying to write a document and sign off on it, it's almost nightmarish. You know, someone wants to, you know, switch a sentence around a little bit for the way they like it. And is this something that someone wrote and now we're just either stuck with it or we're out of it? Or have we had input in it? Or how did this really come together?
I know Adam's been working on this document with the other state commissions as well. We have intervened individually, so to the extent that we don't feel this is really expressing our belief in the proceeding, we could write our own separate filing as well. My understanding of how this came about as well is I know there's been a lot of discussion between the different state commission staff and MISO, and this is because this is through a MISO 2 tariff. And after they reviewed it and I reviewed it as well, and also Otter Tail as well, actually initially expressed concern with it. This is really what triggered a lot of this to look into it. Anyways, after staff out and did a review on that from all the three state commissions, they felt that this is something that needs to be looked into further, and that's what subsequently led to this filing.
And so it was the three for Otter Tail. That's how the three became the group.
The three states at Otter
Tail. Yeah.
It's right, the three Otter Tail states.
I understand why these three, but I was just wondering if one state kind of wrote this and now we're just like feeling somewhat obligated to sign it, or whether we've had input and feel real comfortable with the language.
There's a zero obligation to sign it. I would say that just like sometimes we take a lead in making filings and federal filings, the mass majority is frequently written by one or two states, and the other states provide input. I think we're probably more to the latter on this one, Adam, unless I'm incorrect about that. But as far as we've reviewed it, I've reviewed it, and Adam has reviewed it, and I believe Adam's provided input all along the way. We're comfortable with it.
I suppose at FERC, they'll probably see this and say, yeah, no surprise, North Dakota and Minnesotans lockstep again.
Yeah.
But not, and if it's too early to discuss like strategy details, just tell me that. But as I look at this, it seems to me, I'm not sure if the question is so much our disagreement with whether they should receive compensation for reactive supply and voltage control, or whether it's just that the amount they're requesting is way higher than others get for those.
Sure. I have my thoughts on that, but I think that'd be better answered by Adam. Would you like to take that one?
Yeah, I think in that case that the question just comes down to one of cost. And I don't think anyone is going to say that after you've put an inverter and gone through and put all this expense on your wind turbine that you actually are not providing reactive power. So it's a question of making sure that that cost estimate is reasonable and then, you know, just, and also that when MISO is actually, when Otter Tail is sending Tatanka Ridge a signal, when, you know, they need reactive power, whether they can actually provide that service.
Right.
Because if they can't provide that service more than three times in a month, then you can get that compensation effectively pulled from my gathering.
And so if you actually look in this filing, that's one thing that we're addressing. The joint states don't, they feel that it hasn't been demonstrated that they have the capability to do that. But I imagine what a large part of what at least triggered people to look into this closer and different groups was the fact that was the price that was requested, since it was double the annual revenue request of the average request for compensation.
Do quite a few wind generators within the MISO footprint receive compensation for reactive power?
I don't know how many and at what cost. I will say, though, that in the Otter Tail pricing zone, there could be an incremental 2,000 megawatts who are going to be coming in and out of the woodwork and asking for this type of compensation. What level is only anyone's guess. So this could become a much bigger issue, and it could be a bigger issue for all of load to pay.
Wow.
My question on process is, if it does go to hearing, how much time? I'm not saying that we shouldn't do this, because I think it's a huge impact to our customers, so I think we kind of have to, but I would like to get a sense of how much time you guys think we'd be looking at and how we would be covering the staff needs and, you know, the research writing, et cetera, needed to proceed through that FERC process.
Sure. Adam, would you like to take that question?
Yeah, I think it could be handled not only within all of OMS that we can rely upon, and just to have get more educated with maybe some of the revenue requirements and dig into some technical detail to it. But I think generally, as I've discussed with, you know, my colleagues in Minnesota and South Dakota, I think there's general disagreement. I know a lot of times in OMS we've got a lot of people who footnote out of stuff and try to change and modify things. I don't see a whole lot of disagreement at this point.
So you're saying OMS as a whole is going to be
engaging on this? I would say who's going to be engaging is going to be, we'll lean on and get Otter Tail's thoughts. We'll get Xcel's thoughts. And then we'll also get, you know, Minnesota and South Dakota's thoughts as well. And then we can
How are we going to get the work done?
Right.
I mean, more simply than that, how are we going to do the work?
Yeah, I think, Adam, specifically, you could speak more towards how much time you anticipate putting into this and how much time do you believe, how much help the other states and other organizations will be in providing this. I know in the past.
Tremendous help, yeah.
Right. In the past, when we worked with things that were concerning to our utilities, that there's been a lot of feedback, and this really cut back on a lot of the work.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, you know, you have resource to run things by. But
yeah.
I don't know if, yeah, Adam, you could speak,
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And the other states, like who at Minnesota is working on this?
Well, that'll be Wigwam.
Okay.
And then Darren and Greg. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Wigwam is definitely got some bandwidth. So, all right, I'm comfortable with it.
Sure.
And as am I.
On one final point of direction, it'd be worth knowing if you would like us to be continually calling these meetings or work specifically with one commissioner individually. I know it was Commissioner Crosch's portfolio, but since this is a MISO 2 tariff, specifically that we've been reviewing and how it applies to that, then that may be another option as well. If you'd prefer, we'd work with one individual commissioner.
I think we should just continue having work sessions.
Okay.
Because at some point it's going to spill into the rate making process.
Sure. Can do that.
No, it's a joint fight anyway. So.
For sure. But I think that meanwhile, like for every little thing, we don't need a work session.
Sure.
You can probably just talk to both of us.
Okay.
Really? Because scheduling work sessions is a hassle sometimes, sure. Just for the routine day in and day out questions.
Right.
And as always, we would intend to speak with all three of you, but it's just more of a matter of to work more individually with one, usually commission with one filing. I know we've done that frequently, Commissioner Crispin and some in the past as well. To the extent that it ever gets to a lot more heavily substantive filing, usually we would still, even with one individual commissioner, request a formal full work session to discuss it. What I'm hearing is, to the extent that there's something largely substantive, to have a schedule a quick work session, or Commissioner Crosches?
No, I didn't have a question. Are you asking me a question?
No, to the extent that there's a substantive filing and not a minor procedural one, we should plan on scheduling a work session.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Can do. And I think that's the direction we needed. Thank you very much.
Awesome.